I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
It comes here with Sister Linda Kirkhoff. He had taken a fall and twisted his leg. I think he was at a store or something coming out. And she said, with all of his health issues, her words to me in a message, and I'm getting ready to leave here not running out on you, sis, but I'm going to run and try to go find them. He is not doing very well, and she said, I don't know if he's going to make it or not. And so I wonder if we just raise our hands right now, lift our voice, and pray for Brother Terry in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Brother Terry's body. I pray that you would touch him right now by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would let your anointing rest upon him. In the name of Jesus, let a move of God rest upon him. I pray healing take place by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. And I pray a hedge of protection around each saint at McCormick's Creek. I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would touch their immune systems. And I pray against this sickness. In Jesus' name, by your stripes, we were healed. In Jesus' name, I give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I want to say it's so good to see Brother Tony Duras here this morning. I know it's probably... I'm so excited. He's back. Brother Tony's back. He's back. And Brother Tony, if it wasn't for this thing, everybody'd come up and hug your neck. But we're just going to high-five you from a distance and tell you to love you. And we love those boys you bring. We love those boys. And one more thing. Sorry. I have so much to say. Thankful. It's so good to see the Cook family here this morning. Brother Tom's doing good. He got his kidney transplant, and we're so thankful. And he was on that kidney transplant waiting list for a long time, and he finally got it, and we're very thankful for them. Amen. Bless you in Jesus' name. Here you go, Sister Krause.
You all may be seated. If your food is burnt, it is not my fault. If I go longer, it is him. I should have taken the mic 15 minutes ago. So if your food is burnt, blame him, not me. I kind of feel like I know what he feels like, because every time my husband preaches, he always leaves. And when he told me he was leaving, I thought, that must just be us. So Corbin, when you taught, he stayed. So you are the one that's blessed out of all of us. Okay? Don't ever forget that. Brianna, wherever you are, there you are, front row. If you ever teach, he will probably leave. Okay? He only likes Corbin. Just kidding. I absolutely adore our pastor and our pastor's wife. So I'm going to just quickly do the presentation. Obviously, we can't have all the mothers come up to the front, because then if we take pictures and we're all close together, that's not a good witness to our community. It looks like we don't have to abide by the rules, and I don't feel like that's a way to reach anybody. So unfortunately, we'll have to take pictures another time. But ladies, as you leave the sanctuary, you will be getting this wonderful journal, and it has our church logo. And the cool thing about journals is, for me, I usually take notes, especially Sunday morning and Wednesday, because I have ADD. And if I don't start writing my notes, if Pastor says, and God said, let there be light, when he says light, I'm counting the light bulbs. Like, that's how my mind goes. So for me, I take notes, then I go back and I read them, and they bless me all over again. So that's kind of the purpose of these. Please take notes. If not here, take them at home. You know, listen to a sermon online. Write a grocery list if you don't want to be spiritual. Write goals on how to be a better mother. You know, however you want to do it, there's also a box of candy. And my husband actually made them. He put them together. He tied the ribbon. So, pretty proud of that, actually. I didn't even have to ask. He just did it. That's amazing. That's happy Mother's Day to me. That's how I feel. So ladies, every mother in this place, please stand. I want everybody to give an applause to every single mother. You guys work so hard every single day. You are amazing. You are amazing women in this church. And two things before I do Sister Hills, because I know she's like anticipating having to come up here. Two things warmed my heart this morning. Brother Tony, when you walked in, my heart immediately was like, my buddy is back. So I am so thankful that you are here, because when you're not sitting on this front row, it's hard for me and the rest of the praise singers, because you are one of those people that encourage us to continue to worship and to sing. We miss that. So when we come back, I want you back where you're supposed to be. Okay? Thank you. And the other, I want to give honor to Sister Stacy. I love you so much. And when I seen you walk through those doors, my heart about burst out of my chest. So I want to give honor to you, because you are one incredible mama. So before I bring you up, I told Sister Hill yesterday, she was getting anxiety about having to come up and talk in the microphone. So I told her I would write her thank you speech. I could. And it would go a little bit like, I love my best friend. She makes my life amazing. She is the air that I breathe. But thank you, MCC Saints. You guys are awesome. I feel like that would be very, very good. But other than that, she's a rock star. She's amazing. She is here all the time. If you don't drive by and see her Jeep here, I'm very shocked. She comes after she gets off of work, and she's doing all kinds of things behind the scene that you don't even see. The burden that she has for our kids in camp, I know it's canceled this year, but her burden to make sure our kids go to camp and to pay their way, that doesn't come easy, and she makes it happen. She will go and do whatever she can for our children. We love you. I love you the most, but we all love you. And this is filled with a bunch of goodies. Nothing for you.
Thank you all, even if you didn't know you were getting this for me. Thank you. I did wake up yesterday and I called her. I'm like, I'm already sick. I don't even know what to say. So I was going to write out this really nice speech, but I would have forgotten it. Wouldn't read it, whatever. I don't know. So thank you very much. It is fabulous to see all of your faces here. The little silhouette helped us a lot. We're not you. Sorry if I was cutting out. Anyway, so I love you all. Thank you so much.
Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she lovely? Come here and I'll hold your hand. Isn't she? I'm just kidding. So my husband told me that I have to make you laugh and cry at the same time, that I wasn't allowed to just make you cry, which is what I plan to do. Before I start, I was thinking, I was like, what good story could I tell about my kids that wouldn't embarrass me too bad? None from Corbin. We just left him out. We're like, everything would have been, you would have been praying for our family. So the one thing that I thought, this is okay, was Brianna. It was when Rob and Tabitha were here. We had VBS, but we had it in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning after VBS. And all the kids were down here. The whole church was packed. And he says, how many in this church want to go to heaven? Brianna was 4. Okay, she's not 18. She was 4. And everybody in the church raises their hand, except for my daughter sitting on the front row. And instead of Rob Barrow leaving it alone, he says, well, Brianna, why don't you want to go to heaven? You didn't raise your hand. She starts to cry and says, because I just want to go to Walmart. And we were so proud in that moment. We were like, you know, we need bobby pins. We need hairspray. That girl knew she wanted to go to Walmart. We got in the car and Anthony said, Brianna, do you not want to go to heaven? And she goes, can we just not go to Walmart first? And I'm like, she's a true apostolic child. So we had a few good moments, and I will go ahead and say the nice one about you that wasn't too bad. When we lived in South Carolina, of course, I've homeschooled my kids, all of their, Brianna's actually graduated. She will graduate this year. And then Corbin will graduate next year. And it's been rough, but we've never went to public school. Don't ask them anything about school. Don't ask them to add, multiply, just pretend like they're smart. Okay? I was their teacher. So we were talking about, Corbin was six, and we were talking about slavery. That was part of their ACE. So Corbin used to have a heart of gold that loved people. And so we were in this store, and there was not one person in there that was our color, but just us. So Corbin's looking around, and he's getting teary-eyed, and I thought, he's mad because I'm taking forever. So I start going to the dressing room, and he's crying a little bit harder, and I was like, dude, what's the matter? And he goes, Mom, I feel so bad for all of these slaves. And I was like, Jesus, Corbin. And he just, his heart broke. He didn't understand the concept that this was like years and years ago. So I looked around to make sure no one was in there, and they weren't. But he cried. He was so brokenhearted of everything we've seen. So we have come a long way, haven't we, buddy? He's quite the jewel. We love both of our kids. And happy Mother's Day to my mother. Happy Mother's Day to my sister, who happens to have the best kids other than mine. I love my nephews. Shout out to Kai Man. I love you the most. But anyways, this morning I'm going to hop around. You want to put my title up really quick? You don't know, you may not even know who this person is, but it's called Relentless Rispa. Courage only a mother can have. So I know right now you guys are probably thinking, some of you are going, who is Rispa? And some of you are going, why are you talking about Rispa? So let me get to it. Trying to study to piece together a Mother's Day message, I began remembering the many biblical stories about motherhood. Stories that too many of us forget or lack of words celebrate. I remember Rachel, Sarah, and Elizabeth. When they were unable to have children, they celebrated with every friend who held their newborn baby and found it to be simultaneously the greatest gift and the hardest task. I imagine the hundreds of women who had never had their name in Scripture because they were unable to bear children to pass on the family faith. I know too many women faced miscarriages, infertility, and loneliness. I remember Rahab, Deborah, Joanna, and Phoebe. Women whose work surprisingly outweighed the need to record whether or not they had children. Were their children, were they childless by choice? Was it by circumstance? Were the names of their children lost in history because people found them unimportant? Were they shamed in life for putting work ahead of family? I remember Jochebed and the daughter of Pharaoh. They were linked together, but yet so separate. One gave up her child to save her child. And one took in the child despite the risk. I remember all the women who have given up their children in hopes of a better life for them. But I also remember every woman who has made family through adoption, who takes a child that's not of her own because blood is not always made by family. I remember Rebecca and her twins Esau and Jacob. They were already at war within her. I remember her choosing a favorite son, and so did her husband. And I know too many children who bear the trauma of their parents who perhaps did what they thought was right at the time, but yet scarred their children for life. I remember Hannah, her heart so wounded by the verbal abuse of her other husband's wife that she wept at the altar of God, and even the priest Eli thought she was drunk because she wept so hard. I remember Mary the Virgin, the teenage girl, cradling her stomach with wonder, answering the shock of a miracle, and knowing the judgment of society would come, but she had a simple and determined answer, yes. I remember Eve, the mother of all, her name a reflection of the Hebrew word for life. I remember each woman who has found an inner courage to face the impossibility. But today we are going to speak about a woman named Rispa. If you turn to, you don't have to stand, 2 Samuel 21:10. And Rispa, the daughter of Aiya, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. So you're thinking, this has nothing to do with Mother's Day. I will tell you why it has everything to do with Mother's Day. This story is one of the tragedies in the Bible. It wouldn't be the one that you would mostly think about when you think of tragedies. Balaam, his story where he wished for God's approval and Balak's money. Ananias, He wished for God's approval and the church's approval with his lies. Simon the magician, he wished for God's power and his own ability to buy it. Demas wished for Paul's brotherhood and longed to have the love for the world. And the foolish builder in the parable wished for earthly security on shaky foundation and a spiritual success. When you think of tragedies, that's kind of where I go. That's not, I would have never thought about Rispa being the one that I would go to. All of these situations turned out bad because of the poor choices that all those peoples made. Rispa's situation was completely different. This was not a choice that she made, but this is a choice that she was going to take and make it her own. 2 Samuel 21 gives us some more detail concerning the background about Rispa's life. On the hill, I don't know if any of you know, that there's 7 young men that the Gideonites asked to be hung. Basically, what had happened was Saul killed a bunch of Gideonites. It was basically what I would call a genocide. Like, wiped them. He wanted to wipe them completely out. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. There was a covenant that was made 400 years earlier. And with Joshua. Joshua's spiritual guidance, he made an alliance with the Gideonites. And they had to disguise themselves that they were foreigners. So Joshua believed them, made this alliance, they were fooled, and then he made a covenant. Well, Joshua didn't want to break the covenant, so the covenant had to stay. So then Saul comes along, he makes the determination that he will just massacre them all, and that's what he did. Once the Lord brings this to David's attention, because there was a famine for 3 years, David's praying, what is going on? Why are we in such a famine? Why are we in a drought? What is happening? Tell us, tell me. He lets him know. It was Saul. You want to make this right. This is what you need to do. So David goes to the Gideonites and says, what can I do to make this right for you? What can I do? Tell me, we've got to fix this. The Gideonites didn't want money. They didn't want release from their servanthood, but what they did want was vengeance. So basically, this is where the men come into the picture. David kept his word, and he gave them exactly what they wanted. He gave them 2 sons of Rispa, who we are speaking about, and she was Saul's concubine, and 5 grandsons from Saul. So there were 7 kids that he handed over to the Gideonites to be killed. The word hanged, if you look up in 2 Samuel 21:9, can also be rendered as impaled. Does anybody know what impaled? It's not a lovely word, but that could have very well been what happened to them. They could have been on sharp poles, just hanging. They were impaled somehow. These boys were executed at the beginning of the barley harvest. Would have probably been around late April or early May. It would have been around October before the harvest actually came. So it would have been at the peak of the summer heat when Rispa is sitting out there in the outside trying to protect these corpses. There was something deep down inside of Rispa that made her, like the scripture said, want to sit outside by the corpse and protect them. There was something deep down inside of her. So sitting in a small tin of sackcloth out among the rocks, the wild dogs, the hyenas, the snakes, the vultures, she formed her guard post. Just for a second, imagine this whole setting. The bodies were on posts that probably began to swell, most likely turning from green to black to blue. The smell would have been atrocious. A corpse sitting out there for 6 months would have been the worst smell. No wind could have blew that smell away. During the day, she had to deal with buzzards and vultures, and at night, she had to deal with the wild dogs, the hyenas, and you can only imagine the exhaustion that this woman faced every day. She never left. She sat out there and she guarded these corpses. Why? Because it was her 2 sons that were hanging up there. Did she agree with what happened? We don't know. But what we do know is she was willing to do above and beyond because she wanted to make sure that those boys had a proper burial. You can imagine that the exhaustion plagued her body and the stigma she felt from the rest of Israel. Imagine all of Israel looking at you knowing you are the reason, your family is the reason why we are having to go through this famine. When you are hungry, like look at the world that we're in right now, people are fighting over toilet paper. I mean, they're fighting over everything. There was a woman's car that got broke into because they wanted the toilet paper out of her car. It's pathetic that, but when there's a famine, when there's no food, people will go to desperate measures to feed their children, to do what they can to feed themselves. So when you have the judgmental eyes still looking at you, knowing your family created this, she never moved. She never picked up her sackcloth. She never walked away. She never gave up. She sat there. She was determined. She was probably an outcast. Imagine the disgrace, the depression, the darkness that's covered her life in those 6 months. But there was an end that she had in mind, that these men would be taken down and given a proper burial. I don't know about most people, but I know when it comes to a mom, when you are determined to see something happen with your child, you will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that happens. You will not allow anything to come in that way and to separate that. Women are some of the most determined people that I know, especially mothers. They are determined. There are several lessons to be drawn out of this terrible story that proves to us that even in the most difficult situations, if a mother will just stand her ground, God has something in store for her. One thing about Rizpah that has to be understood is her status did not keep her from any trouble. Rizpah was Saul's concubine, so obviously she was one of his favorites. She had to have a good look because the king wanted her, so it wasn't like she was dog ugly. She was cute. She had enjoyed the fortunes of a palace. Obviously, they had things that no one else had. And also, her two sons were princes. What other mother would not want their sons to be brought up in a place where they have whatever they want to eat? They have the society's love and admiration. So she had everything that she possibly could want as a mother. But unfortunately, life can turn on a dime. And suddenly, all the blessings, all the looks, all the attention, and all the love can disappear. Then what? A mother will find herself fighting on a ledge all alone with very little resources around her. The only inspiration that she may find was something deep down inside of her, was that she knew she was doing the right thing. Sometimes that's the only thing that can motivate us as mothers. It is hard sometimes to tell your child, no, that's not the right thing. I know when the kids were growing up, trying to teach them standards so that way they knew it was a loving thing. It wasn't a, you have to do this. I didn't want them to despise our way of life. I wanted them to love it. I wanted them to understand it. I wanted them to have a desire to please God. Sometimes telling your kid, no, you can't do that. No, you can't go here. It may hurt for a minute. But a mother knows what is right, and you're doing what is right. They may not like you for a moment. They may not like you for a season. They may never like you. Who knows? Depends on what kid you raised. Jeremy, that's on you. You never know. You never know how your kids will feel or react. But if you do what is right, that is the best thing a mother can do for her children, is to make sure you continue to do what is right, whether they like you or they don't. You look at Vashti. She had to leave her royal trappings, and she was banished to a life of the common. Hagar had to leave, be banished into the wilderness, out of the blue. And then you have Rizpah, who now had to basically, she's leaving her palace, her safe home, to sit out into the hot wilderness for a cause. All mothers have probably felt at some time or another that raising their children sometimes can be one of the hardest jobs around. Sometimes you don't know if you're doing the right thing, if you're making the right choice, if you're saying the right thing. Only you know as a mom, what I do with my kids may be different than what my sister-in-law does with her kids. But that's something I have to own up to, and that's something she has to own up to. My kids are different than her kids. You can't compare the way you raise your kids to the way another mother raises their kids. You're not in their home. You're not with them 24/7. You may see, I remember sitting one time, we were in the youth group, and there was a child in front of me that was, whoa, whoa, not carrying on. And man, she was just bouncing off the wall. And man, her mom snatched her up by the head and flopped her down the seat. And I thought, I would never do that. Oh my, I would never. I cannot believe a mother would do that. Until I had my own little girl bouncing around in the pew, and the person beside me is trying to pray for the Holy Ghost, and she's bang, 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 bang. So that, yeah, snatched that head, put her back into the pew. Hello. Now I understood. But it wasn't until I had one bouncing in the pew that I understood why it was done that way. But anyways, all mothers have probably felt that life can be hard. You know the bliss, the wonder, the innocence of the Christmas plays. When our kids get up here and they sing Christmas songs, how mothers take pictures and fathers, and we get so excited. Like, they're just beautiful. They're just angels. Then they walk down the steps and they get home, and they're no longer the cute little angel on the platform anymore. It's not that bliss. I have always told my kids as they were growing up, no matter what you do in life, no matter what choices you make, I'm your mom. Your dad's going to handle it completely different than I would. We're two different people. I'm going to be the one that's going to love you regardless. I'll never stop loving you. However he wants to handle it, that's between him and them. But for me as a mother, no matter what they do, it will never make me love them any less. And I've always told them, if you ever think about doing something wrong, God forbid, if you ever want to leave the church, if you ever want to go so far away, I will never stop loving you. But come talk to me, because I'm going to tell you all the negative things about the choices that you're making. I'm going to try to stop you. But even if you make that choice, I'm still going to be in my house, loving you and waiting for you, and I'll never judge you. And if you make the choices that you make and you have to reap, I will help you get through those reaping times. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to judge you and be disappointed. I've always told them I'll never be disappointed in my kids. You as a parent can be completely different. Me as a mom, I don't ever want my kids to ever see the disappointment on someone's, on my face. I may not like the choices that they make, but I'm never going to be disappointed. I'm never going to label them failures, because I know that one day something might change. And the only way that that will ever change is if I'm a mother that loves my kids unconditionally. And that I extend grace and mercy not only to my kids, but every other kid here. Because one day, I was that kid that sat on the back pew, embarrassed, and felt like an outcast because a choice my husband and I made. And I'm sitting on the back pew with child, scared to death, and I walk into a place, I have looks, I had people that said things that I'll never forget. I had people when I would pray at the altar, I had a lady that would push my hand away, not let me pray with people. Those are things that I remember, but I also remember the people that came back and hugged me and said, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. You're not a failure. There's more for you than what you think. God has a plan. God has a plan. Those are the ones that I remember the most. And that's the mom that I want to be to my kids, that you may fail, but God has a plan. You will succeed. You will get through it. And I feel the same way for every kid in here, because if I don't extend grace to other people's children, then who's going to extend it to mine? Because it could very well, I hope to God never, but it could very well be one of my kids that could sit on the pew and make a mistake that would be so embarrassing. And I would hope that you would love that child and say, it's okay, we all make mistakes, instead of casting judgment. Because I was that person that had the judgment casted upon myself. I know the looks. I know those things. I know what it feels like to not want to walk in here because everyone makes you feel like you're just beyond help. Don't be that person. Not just as a mother, but as a person, as a human. Don't be that person that you make someone so scared to walk through the house of God. Don't be that person. No one here is safe from trouble. But you do need to know that, unfortunately, or the great thing about when these troubled times show up, God always shows up. Even in situations that I created, even in moments of my stupidity, God still showed up. He was still there because I'm still here. And it's not because of my will, and it's not because I'm so strong. It was because I knew that I'm nothing when I leave here. I knew I would be nothing. I have nothing. If I don't have God, I have nothing. So I knew walking into this place and coming and having the ones who gave me the looks. But I knew that if I walked through this place and I put blinders on, it was Sister Tina Morris that told me. She said, Sister, she said, put blinders on when you walk. Ask God to give you blinders, because when you walk through, He will close off the ones that cause any hindrance to you. And every time I prayed for it, it seemed like a whole year, we would pray, God, give us blinders, give us blinders, give us blinders. And we persevered, we came, and we conquered because of the Holy Ghost, because there was something deep down that we knew we made a mistake, but that wasn't the end for us. We knew there was more for us, and that's what we need to do as parents. We need to encourage our children. If you mess up, I hope you don't, but when you do, if you do, it's okay. Walk through the house of God. Go to the altar. Make it right. You can still do this. You can still live for God. There's nothing you can do that will ever separate that. No one can stop God's purpose. No one, not even you. Because if Rizpah wouldn't have done this, maybe somebody else would. Because if it was your child, think about it. If it was your child, what would you want? What would you want for them? You would want to make sure that they had what was proper and what was needed. The greatest triumphs of grace that a woman has ever known has come to them when they are hard pressed, when they are betrayed, and when they are almost crushed. How many of us in this place can say that when you are at your weakest, when you feel all alone, when you feel like there's nothing left, how many of you can say that God just brings the right person or the right thing, and you are once again reminded that He is on the throne? He is the one that's leading. He's the one that's guiding. No matter what, He is there. Every mother in this place ought to stand her ground. Don't come after my kids. Don't. Not spiritually, not any other way. If you come after my kids, you have to deal with me. You think He's scary? Wait till you come after my kids. Sister Raquel knows exactly what I'm talking about. You come after Raquel's kids, she will cut you. Pretty sure. Slice and dice, fry you up, serve it to Daniel. I know that's what would happen. That's mostly every mother in this place. But the status of Rizpah did not preserve her. But even though her status didn't preserve her, she had something that every mother has. Sometimes you don't think you do, but every mother has, and it was courage. God had so arranged it in His grace that when a mother is challenged, when it comes to her children, there is a courage like none other. Deborah was like that when she put terror into the hearts of the Canaanite army. Abigail was like that when she threw herself between the raiding army that was coming to take her husband's vineyards. And Rizpah stands her grounds and fights the elements around her. This kind of courage is simply not limited to the Bible. We have a whole lot of history of women, of mothers that had courage. Clara Barton, she established the Red Cross. Florence Nightingale, she was the building foundation of the nursing profession. Susan B. Anthony fought against slavery. Helen Keller became a symbol for those to fight against disabilities and handicap. And Harriet Tubman helped establish the Underground Railroad that led to the freedom of slaves trapped in the South. But this is where it comes much closer to home. If you look around this entire sanctuary, we have women in this place that has a courage that I've never seen before. I've seen Sister Leanne come to this front and weep over her children because she wants to make sure there's a protection around them, knowing that there was nothing she could do as a mom. She couldn't intervene in the situation. She did what she could, which was come to her knees and beg, God intervened. Same thing with Sister Ashton, Sister Stacy, every single person in this place has had moments where the only thing that they could do is come to their knees and pray. And God gives them such an amazing courage. Sometimes it's lost Our courage gets lost in our everyday routine. Every day we have something. Sometimes we have to sit back and evaluate all of our surroundings and realize that we actually made it through that because we were courageous. And you're only courageous because our Master supplies it through the Holy Ghost. Look around the conditions of this world. I've actually had to stop getting on Instagram on the search thing because all I look up is political stuff. Man, by the time I'm scrolled for 5 minutes, I am so angry. I want to go and just have a press conference and tell people they're so rude and disrespectful to my president who happens to be my best friend. And they need to respect him because anybody else who talks, they'll listen. But as soon as he grabs that mic, they interrupt him. They have no respect for authority. That is what is wrong with our world. We have lost all respect for authority. That is creeping into our church. People are losing respect for the authority of a pastor, authority of the leaders, and church anywhere. You can't tell me what to do because there are mothers who have raised their children to think they're always correct. Unfortunately, they learn it somewhere and it's from mom and dad. Don't be that mother. So if Rizpah's status in life cannot preserve her from her trouble, she leaned on the courage in the dire straits. There's only one last matter that lifted her to the top of the storm. What made her do what she did? Yes, it was courage, but it was a mother's love. We can never underestimate the power of a mother's love. There are very few men, just going to ask, would you have done what Rizpah did as a man? Very few men would. Even if it was your kids, he'd be like, well, you know what? It's all your fault. Should have done it. That's his mentality. Well, you reap what you sow. Most of the time, that's what men do. Yep, it's on you. There are very few men who would have done what Rizpah did. She did it because there was something far greater motivating her than what met the eye. The strength of a mother's love is what carried her through it all. A love of a mother will put her in places the world wonders at. She will defend her child and children at the end, no matter what. Doesn't matter what they've done to disappoint. Doesn't matter the people that they've affected around. A mother who loves her children unconditionally will always fight for her kids. Even when they're wrong, you correct them, but you still fight for them. You never stop fighting for your kids. In the end, David found out about Rizpah. He found out about her devotion, and he gave the men a proper burial. All of this took place because the mother stood her ground. Because she stood her ground, her wilderness became a throne of honor for her. It honors a host of things that every mother in this generation, when you leave this church, you need to have persistence. You need to have courage. You need to have strength. You need to have determination, commitment, and sacrifice. But the one thing that you need is consistency. You need to be consistent when you leave this place in front of your children, in front of your grandchildren, and who you are out there should be the same person you are when you walk in here. Children have to see consistency. What was wrong 50 years ago, 200 years ago, 20 years ago is still wrong. It doesn't matter. Be consistent. If you get on to them today for something, do it tomorrow. Do it the next day. There was Corbin one time, he was our strong-willed child, and I love that booker. He kept wanting to shut our cabinet to the entertainment center because we had a heavenly monitor sitting on it. So he's shutting the cabinet door, and Anthony said, Bub, he was 2 years old, you shut it again, I'm smacking your hands. Corbin looked at him. You've seen the hand go like this? I thought, oh, God, he's going to do it. He grabs the thing, and he slams it. Anthony smacks his hand, kind of quivers his little lip, sticks his hand again. I thought, my God, are you serious? He's taking after you. It's not me. Slams the cabinet door, smacks his hand. I am not kidding. 20 times That boy had the hand smacked on top. You can say we abused our kid. That's fine. We'll talk about it later. I don't care. 20 times. Guess who finally broke and never shut the cabinet door again? That dude. Ever. Consistency. We could have stopped after 5 minutes, like, oh, his poor little hand. We'll try it again tomorrow. We'll try it again next week. No. You want to keep doing it? Consistency. It hurt. Oh, it hurt my heart. And I even kept saying, are you sure we should be doing this? Tap him a little easier. Just a little smudge. And he, nope. He learned. I don't think he ever touched the entertainment center a day in his life. He still asked Brianna to get the smoothies out. He won't even touch it. That'll learn ya. Every mother in this place needs to make a determination and a commitment that they will stand their ground no matter what. No matter what takes place. I don't know if you all remember this story, but April 28th, 2015, when the riots in Baltimore, Maryland were still in action over the Freddie Gray situation. Once I start talking, you guys are all going to be like, oh yeah, I remember this. One mother set herself apart from all of the others because she decided to stand her ground. Her 16-year-old son was in the crowd of the rioters throwing rocks at the Baltimore police. I would knock you out, first off. Toya Graham ran up when she recognized her son, jerked him by the arm, and physically removed him from the rock throwers. She jerked him by the arm, all the while giving him an open hand smack to the back of the head. Mothers, we love the backhanded smack to the back of the head. There's something that only a mother, there's an art to it. You hear like that, dun, 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 boom, it's just like the fireworks. Oh, I love it. Do you want to show them how we do it at home? She jerked him by giving a slap to the head. Her challenge was that he had a hoodie on and a face mask to hide his identity. She ended up running him across the area of 20 to 30 yards while pulling off his hoodie, snatching that face mask right off, cuffing him about the ear and giving him a tongue lashing that only a mother can give. What Toya Graham did not know was that she was being filmed. Does anybody remember seeing this video? She was being filmed. She, to me, got Mother of the Year. I was so proud of that woman. She was being filmed. Next thing you know, it was being broadcasted all over the news. And then it was on Fox News, CNN, which they were telling the truth on that aspect, but most of the other stuff, no. But it was everywhere. They end up asking her to come and they interviewed her. She kind of downplayed her role a little bit. She said she was just being a parent. It was very frustrating and embarrassing that her son would even be involved in the riot in the first place. But after several interviews, come to find out, she was a single parent. The only thing that she had was herself and her son. The only disciplinary in that whole family was her. She was the mother, the father. She had to set the example. There's too many women that have to be the mother and the father. I give kudos to you because it is hard enough to be a mother. To be a mother and a father is a whole nother level. But later they interviewed her son. Most teenage boys would have been embarrassed. They would have been humiliated. They probably wouldn't even did the interview. But that boy sat there and he said, I'm thankful for my mom. Because if she would not have done that, I would have been caught up with all of those people and went down a whole different path. But because she stood her ground, she disciplined me the way that I should have been disciplined, I'm not that person. It took a mother. Did she want to do that? Was she embarrassed? Sure. But she did what she had to do. She stood her ground. She was a mother who was willing to stand her ground. While there was no way to know all the dynamics about the whole situation, we can be safe to say that more mothers ought to be willing to do what she did when it comes to your children. Today, I celebrate every mother in this room who has had the courage that I spoke about this morning. Every mother whose love for her children is given without reservation. Every mother who will push all boundaries and obstacles to protect her children. All of you sitting in front of me today, please remember, God chose you to be a mom. He did. He chose you to be the mom of your children. You are the greatest example to them. You are completely important. That one of the most important people in your child's life is their mother. They have many jobs, many hats that they wear. She's the chef. Usually makes the request of all of the children that they're feeding. The nurse to the child who you just told to say, don't go do that, you're going to get hurt, and then you have to nurse them. Try to pop their knees back in place whenever they need to have surgery, cause lifelong damage. The maid to the gross kids who leave everything out when you've told them repeatedly to please clean up your mess. The psychologist. You're the teacher, especially now. All of you, welcome to my world of homeschooling. It's a blast, isn't it? You actually are the principal, too. Just saying, you're the teacher and the principal. You're the taxi cab driver. The list goes on and on. The many, many hats you wear. But some days, you have to put on the hat of being a disciplinary. Tough love stinks. It's the job that most mothers hate to do, but they do it. There was a little boy. I'm going to end with this one. And I'm sorry if this offends anybody. There was a little boy sitting on the front steps with his face cradled in his hands. He was looking so hopeless. His dad came home just then and said, dude, what's wrong, man? Little boy looked up and said, well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too. That usually happens. Moms, unfortunately, have to be the bad guys at times. No one writes about that in the parenting books. I have bought so many parenting books by Dr. Dobson, Dr. Lehman. No one talks about that. You have to go in blind as a bat, and hopefully you pray your kids turn out. We don't know if they do sometimes. They fail to leave out that part, but the most important occupation any woman on this earth can possess is being a real mother to her children. It doesn't have much glory in it at times, but there is no greater place of ministry, position, or power than that of a mother. Our greatest ministry in life is raising children who will love and serve the Lord and raising them to always follow after His will and to be servants in His kingdom. That's it.
Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, to all the moms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if he said anything about Wednesday. Did I miss something when he was talking, when the pastor was speaking? Okay, Wednesday is back to normal. There won't be any ark or anything like that. Everybody will be in the sanctuary just like this morning. So Wednesday, 7:30. Sister Lario sent out a text. But Wednesday, Sunday morning, going back to somewhat normal. Everybody will be in here. There won't be... no classes, dismiss them for a while. We'll just have to play it by ear. And I think pastor's doing the right thing. You don't have to stay, man. It's okay. But I think he's doing it right. We could just jump back in, just go right back to normal. And everybody that I know that's done that have lost people to the virus. So he's got to use wisdom regardless of how I feel. Even if Monroe County doesn't do what everybody else does, he still has to make that decision. Aren't you glad you don't have to make that decision? You just get to gripe and complain about the decision that he makes. Hallelujah. But I think he's doing the best that he can. And regardless of who he gets together with and who he talks about, he has to make very, very difficult decisions on, yes, let's do this, let's not do that. And regardless of what decision he makes, we get to ask him, well, why did you decide that? Hallelujah. A mother knows how that feels. No matter what you decide. Especially if you have more than one kid, because one's going to side with what you said and the other one's going to disagree no matter what you say. But one day we'll be with Jesus and it won't matter. Amen? Amen. Hug your mom. Or somebody who's been a mom to you. Just hug them and tell them that you love them today. Some way, somehow, call them, text them. Make contact with them. And as we leave, Sister Stacy, I want you to talk to Pastor last night. He asked me to help plant a tree. I don't think he's ever asked me to do something more important since I've known the man. we're going to plant a tree in Sister Stacy's yard in honor of her son. But I want to say this because I know the enemy. And sometimes even as a human, you're always going to be a mom. Okay? So every Mother's Day, you come in here, and when she has them stand, you stand. And when we come to the front, you come to the front. And if anybody has any problem with that, I'll talk to them. I'll take care of it. We might do to them what David did to Rizpah's sons. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. But nothing changes. Even once you get to heaven, every mom that's here, you were still a mom here. You're still a dad here. Brother Davis, that doesn't change. We're all going to be changed, and we're going to move on and do whatever we don't know next, right? No one has heaven figured out. Don't act like you do. You might have an idea of how it's going to work out, but one thing that will never change is that you were Zane's mom. And now he's in a place of rest, and one day you will see him again. But until then, we're going to plant a tree, and every day, you better look out there and just remember all of the awesome times. And the fact that he's not in no more pain. And there's a lot of questions, and I know you want to ask God why. And one day you'll get that chance. All of us in here would love to ask Jesus why about a couple things. And there's any questions you have that I cannot answer. But one day you will get an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and ask him. And maybe once we get there, the answer will just be there. But you'll always be a mom. And every mama's day, you come up here and you stand and you do what every mom would do. That goes for every mom. It's okay. They don't have to be here holding your hand for you to be a mom. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that Sister Nell didn't have any babies. I didn't know that. But I know my pastor wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. And he loves his mom more than I know of any kid that loves their mom. But there's certain roles that women play in people's lives that make or break them. That make or break them. It just so happens that Sister Stacy's son's journey ended sooner than hers. And one day you'll better talk to Jesus about that. But until then, today is a celebration of all moms. So if there's been any mom in your life, whether it was the one that brought you into this place or just one that stood out and has said something at the right time or has just been there, Brother Davis. It's just went out of her way, Sister Davis, to make sure that she said something to someone that might be going through something that I wouldn't understand. Tell them that you love them. Hug them if that's okay with you. And if not, that's okay. That's all right. Come back Wednesday night. We're going to have church. Try to make it as normal as possible, Sister Laurie. And if you've been fasting and praying, keep fasting and keep praying. And let God just move in our lives. Amen. One service a week does not change who Jesus is. He changes not. Our circumstances change. He doesn't. He doesn't. So come Wednesday, we're going to have church. We're going to keep having split sessions on the Wednesdays that falls on. We're just going to have a good time in the Lord when and if we can. Amen. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Let's just pray for our church. Amen, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name, touch McCormick's Creek. Every member, Lord, that claims to be a member of McCormick's Creek. Lord, I ask that you bless them and keep them today. Allow the mothers to be honored in every way possible today. In Jesus' name, God, let your will be done in my church. However you see fit, let it be done in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You did good. You did good. You did good. Rizpah, that's a good story. How many people knew that story before she said anything about it? Not a lot of people. That's a good one. It's a very good one. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. See you Wednesday.